So, but when you're in the fitting room or you're unboxing your latest like order, you may not know why that jean didn't fit. But a lot of times we internalize it. We tell ourselves it's because of our some shape we have, some weight distribution, some body change, something that makes us the problem. And you're never the problem. The problem is the pants or the selection of pant. And we make a small adjustment with a different kind of waist or a different color, different fabric. And suddenly that pant that you wanted to style, you wanted to wear, that trend you were curious about works for you. It was just about navigating it, right?
Hello, and welcome to the Art of Living Well podcast. I'm Stephanie May Potter, and I'm here with my co-host, Marnie Dotchess Marmette.
We created the Art of Living Well podcast to empower you to live your happiest, healthiest, and most authentic life. Each week, we will bring you inspiring and motivating conversations covering health and wellness topics, including fitness, mindset, food, travel, product reviews, and strategies from a variety of experts, including our own bank of knowledge.
We are excited to educate, motivate, and inspire you to change the way you perceive health and discover your art of living well. Get ready to feel inspired. Hello, and welcome back to the Art of Living Well podcast, where we motivate, inspire, and empower you to find your art of living well. If you're loving the content here, make sure to check out our YouTube channel for some fun videos and our Pinterest boards for endless inspiration. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button and pin your favorite episodes for later. Plus, you can get a little more up close and personal with us. Let's keep the conversation going on all our platforms because we are here and we're more than just a podcast. We're a community of like-minded people who want to step outside their comfort zone, maybe challenge the status quo to unpack what's holding you back and find your ideal health and well-being. So with that, we also would love for you to head on over to Apple Podcast and leave us a rating and review. It takes just 2 minutes and it really, really does help us reach more people so that others like yourself can benefit from the inspiring conversations and resources that we share each week. And now on to today's episode. Marnie and I are so excited to share today's amazing guest, Nicole Russo, who has been a private stylist and personal shopper for over a decade. She was a senior personal shopper at Net-a-Porter for almost 5 years, where she helped the world's most stylish women dress impeccably. In 2017, Nicole founded Let's Get You and has since styled hundreds of people, sat at New York Fashion Week, and contributed to or has been featured in Fast Company, Bustle, Today X Tomorrow, and Martha Stewart Wedding. Nicole and her team are on a mission to give people the style skills and fashion resources to see themselves and live their lives differently. They help high achievers create personalized, stylish wardrobes quickly so they can dress confidently and have extra time for the more important stuff. This episode is a slightly different topic than what we're used to sharing on this podcast, but really is so important because having a style and having confidence about your style really does help you live well. And when you can dress confidently and show your inner style and personality through fashion without it being an overwhelming or burdensome process, you will feel so good about yourself. So in this episode, you are going to learn the process that Nicole goes through with her clients, how to find inspiration, and then this very prescriptive process of editing your closet one category at a time. You will learn some practical tools and takeaways that will have a long-lasting change. These are things that you can learn today to start doing that will carry you forward for the rest of your life. And to create an environment where you're not getting stressed every time you have an event or creating anxiety and overwhelm about what to wear. Marnie and I talked about this on the episode, and it's definitely happened to us. Nicole shares why trends don't matter. It's your personal style that does. And if you buy what you love based on what works for you and your life, you will be happy with what's in your closet and being able to create different looks with these key pieces. Nicole shares how she works with clients both virtually and in person to help them discover their personal style, what's been holding them back. She'll inventory and edit your closet and then go shopping for that next level to really elevate your wardrobe. Think of her service like a Stitch Fix on turbocharge. And she shares examples of how her clients are thriving with this newly found confidence. And you know, This process is no different than forming any habit like we talk about on this podcast, whether it's improving your sleep or drinking more water or eating more vegetables. It's building little changes that will build long-term sustainable results and getting out of your head and unpacking that in order to build the confidence. So I'm personally a big fan of this. I went through my own similar but different process before we met Nicole a couple years ago. And let's just say it's really transformed my confidence, how I look, how I shop, and it's much more efficient. So with that, let's jump right into this fun and inspiring conversation with Nicole Russo.
Good morning, Nicole. We are so excited to have you on our show today. And we love all the work that you're doing to help people feel more confident in their style and in their self-expression. And we're just excited to bring everything that you bring to the table to our listeners today. But before we get started, one question we love to ask all of our guests is, what is your one non-negotiable to start the day?
Oh, well, the first thing I do truly when I wake up is brush my teeth. I know it's so simple, but like, I can't I cannot function unless I've brushed my teeth. And that sort of like segues me into every other form of self-care, like my, like throwing on, you know, rinsing my face with water, my skincare. Don't pick up my phone. One of the best things I've ever done actually is turning off my phone at night. I don't put it in the other room. I turn it off because instinctually I would find that I would tap it when I first started doing this, even when it was off, and that it wouldn't light up. But I would go over to it, I would tap it wherever it was, and being turned off, it wouldn't light up. It wouldn't engage me, but it made me really aware of that really like nasty little habit that I had. So I always turn it off, and that has changed my morning too. Cause even if I get 20, 30 minutes, an hour break from that, oof, nice.
And at what point do you turn your phone back on?
Typically depends on the morning in terms of demand, but I try to wait as long as possible. Even if I can jump onto my computer and focus on work there, but or any other responsibilities, because I find that, you know, something about that phone leads to like that dark tunnel of either ending up on social media or some other thing that will take me off course from either my goals or whatever good mindset I might be in for that moment.
I think that's a great habit for everyone. Yeah. And I love that you recognize that about yourself and you just made the switch to turn it off, because a lot of people do just put it in another room, but it's still on. So yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Should give that advice to my children. anyway, Nicole, everyone has a story, and we would love for you to share your journey in a nutshell of how you became a stylist.
It was really unorthodox. So traditionally, a lot of the fashion industry and styling in particular has a lot of nepotism around it. It's a very privileged position to be in, especially in New York City. I was not raised in a fashionable environment. I grew up in the middle of nowhere in upstate New York with like lots of trees, lots of cows. And I always appreciated style and pretty things, you know, but I didn't really find myself, you know, stepping into the world of it until I was in my late 20s. I, you know, had been a post-grad thinking I'd be in marketing and found myself really lost. But one day I got an opportunity from a friend who got a fancy new job, and she really wanted to build out some work wardrobe. So she added like, hey, you want to go shopping with me? You're always kind of cute. And it fell into place with like I was breathing. It was like nothing I'd ever done that felt so natural and easy. And that sort of led me to buying Small Business for Dummies. And I was that how to form an LLC and like these big dreams. And I bootstrapped my way into the fashion industry and started to like sort of grab clients along the way. And I, you know, sort of built up my work and 10,000 hours of expertise through the retail world. I worked at Anthropologie and J. Crew during like the Jenna Lyons heyday. And somehow before I know it, this like small little country podunk girl found herself sitting at New York Fashion Week, air kissing in uncomfortable shoes while I was working for Net-a-Porter, where for about 5 years, I styled the most successful and magnificent women in the whole world. women like CMOs of Accenture and best-selling novelists were coming to me for fashion advice. And that was pretty cool. And it was as glamorous and amazing as it sounds. And it was also as vapid and ridiculous as it sounds. And it started to just really be unfulfilling. I lost the, you know, part of why I did what I did, which is like, because I saw the magnificent way that looking and feeling great in what you wear and how you see yourself could completely change your life. It could change the things you went for. It could change the way you, the possibilities you saw for your entire world. So I started signing men. Naturally, I started signing men because who needs that more than men do? But that was sort of my segue into entrepreneurship fully, which led me to leave corporate America in 2018. And I've been running my private styling and shopping service company, Let's Sketch You, since February of 2018. And we now work with women and men all over the world, all virtually and in person. And yeah, it's incredibly, we're back to fulfilling the transformative change and unlocking abundant confidence for people. And it's been a wild ride. And along the way, I went from being a podunk country girl to feeling like a fabulous, fashionable, stylish person who apparently has way more confidence to do crazy things like leave corporate America. So maybe I did it for myself too.
Well, thank you for sharing that journey. And I think there's just something inspiring about, like you said, you were this like podunk country girl, and then you ended up in Fashion Week. And a lot of times people put themselves into this box of what they can be for themselves. And you really had this, you listened to this like inner voice and you had little breadcrumbs along the way that kind of put you on this path. So that's a cool story. And for everyone out there, just knowing that like, if there's some big dream that you have, you can absolutely go for it. And I just love how you're taking like the fat, you know, fashion we sometimes think of, and I love fashion. I've always been interested in it, but it's a physical, you know, it's a bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Superficial, material. Right? And it's not a material, but it's not, because it really does help you become like unlocking that confidence, like you said, and this transformative change. So we can dive into that a bit more too. Anyway.
Well, and I'm just thinking about how fashion can be empowering for people and help people live a more fulfilling life. I think about, you know, how I feel when I'm like on a Sunday and I'm wearing my sweatpants and I maybe am feeling lazier and I'm wearing a baseball cap and I'm running to the grocery store, or on a day when I'm more put together, a night out, and I definitely feel different inside, right? So how do you help clients feel empowered through fashion?
Well, what it is that one of the biggest things is that we have a system that we put them through that enables them to have what they've never been able to have or they haven't had in a long time with such effortlessness that it reframes what they think is possible for themselves. Because along the way, we crack through and we overcome a lot of those limiting beliefs. Like, oh, it's not, I'm too old. It doesn't, I'm not the right size. I'm, you know, not in the right place of life. It's not available to me. For whatever reason, there's this place that they want to go and there's the place that they are at. And there's this, you know, these things that have gotten in the way. And it could be how the overwhelming anxiety that they get when they shop. It could be, you know, the limitations they have and the sizes that are available to them. It could be the, you know, how they were raised to tell them what, you know, the investment that they were worth having when it came to the clothing they wanted to wear or even feeling good about themselves. So we create a safe space for them to overcome those, but practically. So we find the clothes that fit. We show them that this is something that can work for them. We answer those terribly awful questions they ask themselves in the fitting room or when that package comes, like, what shoe do you wear it with? Why? And then they also, we show you why things don't work. A huge component of styling and with a great stylist is about teaching, right? When we feel so much more confident, when we are competent, right? When we feel like we know what we're doing. And so, but when you're in the fitting room or you're unboxing your latest like order, you may not know why that jean didn't fit. But a lot of times we internalize it. We tell ourselves it's because of our some shape we have, some weight distribution, some body change. You know, something that makes us the problem, and you're never the problem. The problem is the pants or the selection of pan. And we make a small adjustment with a different kind of waist or a different color, different fabric. And suddenly that pant that you wanted to style, you wanted to wear, that trend you were curious about works for you. It was just about navigating it, right? So we give people practical tools and takeaways so they can have long-lasting change in their closet and they know how to do it themselves. And that automatically gives you confidence when you know what you're doing and you feel like you can navigate the unknown. And you, so that's a huge part of it, which significantly diminishes any anxiety or overwhelm, any frequent disappointment. And, you know, feeling successful at what you're doing is such an amazing propeller towards more success. You know, it makes, right? Like you go and you take more risk. I used to do a lot of yoga, but you get in headstand once, like you're like, wait, maybe I can do a handstand. Like before you know it, you're jumping around, like you're taking these. It gives you courage.
I was just going to say, last night we had an event where we did sauna and cold plunge. And I got in it, whatever. Stephanie got in it. And we had all these people that are part of our liver detox get in it for the first time. And I think a lot of them were pretty nervous about it. And I was so proud of them. And I know, like you said, they were feeling so successful when they left, and that is going to propel them next time they do cold plunge. They're not going to be as scared. They're probably going to sit in the water longer, and they're just more empowered. And you're basically doing the same thing with fashion. And I love that.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, fashion is fun and it can make you feel sexy. It can make you feel chic. You can almost like cosplay the person you want to be. And sometimes like, it makes you just forever see yourself as that person. I mean, I find that like, it really is almost like a magical wand to when it's done really well. When you know, you could be like insecure or like nervous about going to like a conference, or, you know, if you're an executive and you're taking on like a new role and you're showing up in a new space, like that could be a little overwhelming, even if you have an incredibly impressive reputation or resume. But if you have to go to that like conference or that boardroom and you've recently like your body changed or your clothes don't fit or you don't love the way you look or you're changing like culture and you have to show up differently, that's a whole other ball game because now you have to navigate that. And if that was never a place of strength for you that you used to have on lock, that's going to hold you back versus like being like, I got this. This isn't even a thing. Like, you know, who hasn't had to go to a wedding or a work event or their kid's new school? And you're like, oh, I have to like figure out what to wear. And then if that's not easy for you, I mean, that can bog you down for weeks, months. And then leading up to it, you panic shop, you destroy your entire bedroom or closet trying to figure out, and you don't, it's never right. And you show up like in that feeling. And I don't want anybody to feel that.
I've had many of those moments.
And we've all been there.
Yes.
You're right. Think of how much time and effort. Forget the money for the clothes, but the time, your headspace, stressing about it, shopping online for hours or going to stores trying to find that perfect outfit, where if you had this somewhat curated closet for you that works for you based on your style and what you like and colors and all that, it would be easy. You could mix and match and put together a quote new outfit without actually leaving your closet, right? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Exactly.
And as you're going through all this, I'm like, you're kind of like a therapist here too. Like you are unpacking because seriously, how we present ourselves from the outside does have something to do about the inside. And if we have these limiting beliefs, like you mentioned, like how your, you know, family maybe valued clothes or fashion or whatever, you got to like unpack that before you can like focus on the outside. So you have a very complex, interesting service that you offer too.
And also you don't need to break the bank to do this, right? Like we're not talking about, like you mentioned earlier, Hermes or like, you know, it doesn't have to be all these top of the line brands. It's about curating this closet that works for you, which I love. But, you know, I've tried Stitch Fix, I think it was called, before, and it has never worked for me.
It doesn't work for a lot of people, so don't feel bad.
And I'm like, I mean, I might need to hire you because I'm one of those people that I have an event, a wedding, whatever. I'll order 10 pairs of shoes to my house the week before. I panic shop. I'm like, oh my God, I have the dress, but I didn't get any of the other parts of the outfit together. And so,
yeah. And it should be fun. Like having the opportunity to get dressed up for a wedding should be fun. It should be like a playful, like adventure. And first of all, a lot of people don't do well with Stitch Fix. A lot of, you know, there is some success there for, you know, a few, but in terms of your comment about budget, like you're 100% right. Like, you know, I do work with a lot of different, I do get to work with a lot of high profile people or maybe people with higher budgets, but you know, I also work with people who are emerging leaders or who are, you know, like, you know, successful professionals, but they live real lives. They have children, they have other responsibilities. They can't, you know, just only buy Gucci and Chanel, or, you know, they don't want to spend $350 on one pair of jeans. But there is a way that you can still be intentional about the things that you bring into your closet. What often happens is we shop without a plan. We go out and we see things we like. We see an influencer talk about something. We see something that's interesting in color or shape, and it's inexpensive, so we buy it, but it doesn't actually serve us. It doesn't fit well. It doesn't fit our lifestyle. We have no way how to style it. And then it ends up in the closet. And then you end up amassing all this crap that you never wear, that you have no outfits, and you just cycle the same 20%. And you always feel unsatisfied. Uh-huh. So there's a better way to do it and feel full, feel rich in how you look, and do it within your means. Because the first way I always tell people to do is there's, first of all, being very clear on what your image goals are. Like you may have an aesthetic or a look that you like, but if you don't have that actually in your mind, you couldn't like pinpoint it with like 3 or 4 pictures. How are you going to create it? You know, if you're going to paint a wall in your house, what do? You make sure you go to the store, you research paint colors, you get inspiration, right? Same thing. You need to be inspired and be intentional about that. And the second thing I love to tell people to do, which is really important, is just going back into that closet and editing. And this isn't like, you know, you want to just like get rid of clutter. This is about inventory. You know, it's like if you were a chef and you wanted to, you know, make sure your kitchen had all the ingredients, it's the same thing. Your closet needs to have all the ingredients to create the recipe of style that you're looking for. So you want to edit your closet. And I understand that that's incredibly overwhelming for a lot of people because nobody wants to spend 6 hours on a Saturday going through all the disappointing pieces of clothing that don't fit anymore. So instead, I'm going to give you a tip on how to do it smart. You're going to go into one category at a time, let's say jeans, and you're going to look at all of your jeans. You don't even have to take them out. You can just know that they're there in the drawer, and you're going to immediately pull out the nose, the ones that you will never wear. You know, you haven't worn, you will never wear their nose because they have holes. They don't fit anymore. You're going to take it and you're going to put those in the donation toss pile. And then you're going to take the maybes, the ones that you're like, I'm not really sure how to wear it. It doesn't really fit. I think it's kind of a skinny, so it's not cute anymore, but it was my favorite skinny. And I don't know if their skinnies are going to come back. So I'm like worried about throwing them away, all that storytelling. Mm-hmm. And you're going to put that in your maybe pile, which is going to be what we call your archive pile. And that's going to basically go away somewhere else. Okay. Yes. It's not going to live in I'm wearing it now pile. And that is what's going to remain. That's going to be your yeses that you know for sure you absolutely love, and you're going to be allowed a couple of those. I really love it, but I haven't worn it, and I'm not sure if I'm going to wear it, and which pile does it go into? You're going to keep some of those there. And then what you're going to think about is every time you get dressed and you go to grab that go-to jean that you always wear, you're not allowed to wear it until you've worn one of your maybes.
Oh.
And the reason you're going to do that is because if that maybe gets to live in that yes pile, it has to be used. It has to turn into a yes, or it either needs to go into the no, or it needs to be archived.
So can I ask you about the archiving? So
yeah, go ahead.
The archiving, I like that term a lot. Mm-hmm. Are you putting it like in a basement closet or something in case, like, is that kind of like the things that like do come back over time. Like you said, skinny jeans are not that in right now. They will come back, right? And maybe we do have that favorite pair of skinny jeans that we don't, we're not ready to part with. So you're putting that in another closet.
Yes.
So I love that idea.
I just have had this conversation about skinny jeans in my closet like last week.
Because I have a lot of them and I really like a lot of them.
I know.
And you're like, I don't want to get rid of them. Because you're also like, I spent money on these things and I want to buy them again when they come back in 4 years.
Yes.
Like, it's frustrating because you see the things that you toss or you thought about and you're like, oh my God, this is back. I had my favorite ones like 2 years, like 3 years ago. And you're like, like get it. I totally get it. And unless you're someone like a stylist or like someone who's really into fashion where you've curated and you've archived, like I have things that I've had for like, I've had for 3 years I've never worn because they're archived for a reason because they're so special in their own way. And maybe there's going to be an event or there's going to be a season in life where I'm going to want that again because it was just such a unique, beautiful piece that I brought in. But you archive, so you can put it in a closet, you can put it in a basement, you can, you know, obviously I'm in New York, so we have very limited space. You need to be very intentional about what you're doing, about what you're choosing. But you definitely archive. And for some people, like that archive could be the actual back of the closet or the back, but, or there's a drawer in that one dresser that's all archive pieces. Everything is just in there, like as an example. But that's how you prune. But so that way, when you're getting dressed, the only pieces that are there are your, like, they're yeses. They're yeses and maybes I'm trying. And the reason I tell you when you go to pull out that jean, we're using jeans as an example. And when you go to pull out your jean and you pull that that favorite always wear, you're not going to pull her out because the whole point is for you to try something new. So if you want to know if that maybe is a yes or a no, you have to wear her. You have to put her on because you're not going to remember either why you loved her or why you hated her until you've actually walked around in it. So put it on, make an outfit, even if it's like to go make coffee. And it very quickly, you're going to feel reignited to love it, or you're going to be like, this is a fuck no. And you're going to put her in the no. You know what I mean? You're going to like, she's going to go. And then you're going to feel relieved. You're not going to feel this seesaw of like, do I keep it? Do I let it go? You know, it allows the space, and you do it with every category. So we use jeans as an example, but you want to do that with every category. And then until eventually what you've done is like, once you've cycled, like, so like, say it's Monday and you wear that maybe jean, you pair it with like that favorite, like t-shirt, right? Or maybe, and then Tuesday you wear that favorite jean and now you're pairing it with a maybe blouse. So you really want to incorporate a maybe piece into your outfitting. Because once you've pruned your absolute no's, you put your archives away, and then you have your total yeses and your maybes in your closet, you're going to be able to take all those favorites and integrate them into the maybes and prune further. And it ignites so much creativity. So much creativity.
Well, and I'm even thinking about belts right now. Like I have, I probably have 10 belts in my closet and I literally wear two of them. But I feel like I spent a decent amount of money on some of them and they're pretty out of style right now. But don't you think the belts come back? Like, I never know. Should I just get rid of the belts? I still kind of like them, but I would not wear them right now.
So do you, we can use them. Great. We can use belts as an example. So what I would do is I would do this. I would go in and I would say there's probably absolute no's in there. You probably, there are ones you bought that you never really, you loved them in theory, but you never loved to wear them. You might be like, okay, this is like a 90% no. Or maybe one of them looks a little worn. Or at this point, your style may have evolved and you're like, you know, there are things that are not cool, but you still love, right? There was still this beautiful color. The fabric was incredible. Like you just felt like a baddie when you wore it. Like, if that one may have new space once you've like, this is why personal style is incredible. This is why trends do not matter when you have personal style, because trends are just invitations in the marketplace that you get to pick from and you get to create from. And people that have a really strong sense of personal style, they are able to do that cherry picking without pressure. They buy what they love based on what works for them and their life. And, you know, they're just like, it's no different than if you pop into like, a gourmet grocery store and you're like, that's a different kind of pickle. Let me try that pickle. I really like pickles. The same concept. So with your belts, what I would do is I would follow, first start with your absolute nose, like I said, and you may not even have any. And then the ones that you don't think are in style, but you really loved, archive them.
Did you know that there is one phase of sleep that almost everyone fails to get enough of? And this one phase of sleep is responsible for most of your body's daily rejuvenation, repair, controlling hunger and weight loss hormones, boosting energy, and so much more. I'm talking about deep sleep. And if you don't get enough, you'll probably struggle with cravings, slow metabolism, premature aging, or even worse conditions. Why don't most people get enough of this one important phase of sleep? A big reason is magnesium deficiency, because over 80% of the population is deficient in magnesium. And magnesium increases GABA, which encourages relaxation on a cellular level, which is critical for sleep. In fact, magnesium is responsible for over 600 different biochemical reactions in the body.
Magnesium also plays a key role in regulating your body's stress response system. Those with magnesium deficiency usually have higher stress levels, which negatively impact sleep as well. Now, before you go out and buy a magnesium supplement, it's important to understand that most products out there only have 1 to 2 forms of magnesium, when the reality is your body needs all 7 forms of this essential sleep mineral. That's why we recommend Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizer. Once I started taking Magnesium Breakthrough, I've noticed I sleep deeper, I have no problem winding down and falling asleep, and I wake up feeling refreshed and energized. I have been amazed at how much better I feel making Magnesium Breakthrough part of my daily routine. Magnesium Breakthrough contains all 7 forms of magnesium designed to help calm your mind, help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. The deep sleep benefits are really noticeable.
Don't miss out on the most relaxing sleep ever with Magnesium Breakthrough. For an exclusive offer for our listeners, go to buyoptimizers.com/theartoflivingwell and use promo code THEART10 during checkout to save 10%. This special offer is only available at buyoptimizers.com/theartoflivingwell.
I mean, remember like speaking of the current trends, like there was an era where like low rise belts wrapped around your hips were like huge. I loved that trend. It's back. It's coming back. Gen Z is adopting all of these things. It's coming back. So like, but I remember like about a little over 10 years ago, I lied my way into a job in anthropology, and this is how I sort of broke myself into the world. And I'm gonna tell a funny story. So I was broke. I was like a post grad who had like no idea what I was doing in my life. I really wanted the job. It was a personal shopping title. I loved anthropology. It was their heyday. I went to the store and I bought all the clothes, and then I styled an outfit and then like returned the clothes afterwards. Like, don't tell the industry, but I didn't damage it, but like I needed to wear the clothes for the interview. And I ended up keeping one of the things. It was this really cool low rise, like stretchy belt that had a giraffe on it, you know, like very anthro. And I wore like hip slung, like boyfriend jeans and a baggy t-shirt. And I still remember the outfit so well. And I put the belt in over the t-shirt and like wore it kind of blousy and cool. And that was like, that was not the era of doing that. Like 10 years ago, you didn't do that. In fact, you didn't wear hip slung belts 10 years ago. I mean, there was a little bit of it, but it was cool because it was just cool. So what I'm saying is like, you might have opportunities to wear some of your belts once you have more regulars and more like basics, more yeses and less maybes and nos. Because when you have a head to toe top and jeans that you're like, or head blouse or skirt or something, and you're like, I love this outfit, you might feel more inspired to play with some of those maybe belts in a new way. So it's really just about like, my advice is to start with the categories that are a little easier, like your basics, like your jeans, your shirts, the things that like, these belts might be an overwhelming category. So maybe you get to them last. And the reason I call it the LGY edit method, because this is the way that you, every day you can do one category. You can do the category as you're getting dressed. You could open the drawer to wear of jeans. You're like, oh, these are no's. And you could just do your category in the morning for 10 minutes. And it's a wonderful way to edit your closet through daily dressing without the stress of losing a whole Saturday, you know?
No, such great advice. Yeah.
And I do it. Like, definitely tell me how you do. I want to know how the belts go.
I will.
Yeah. And Marnie, you and I have talked about this a bit because I did a whole like closet style color. We spent a lot of time. And I have to say, for anyone out there that this sounds overwhelming, yeah, you may spend a little bit of time going through this, but I think figuring out your personal style, what clothes work, your colors, and also the closet, it makes shopping that much more efficient. So I walk in stores now and I know based on the colors and the styles, and I will walk in and walk right out. Or I mean, it's very efficient. Even when I'm looking, I can search for certain colors. Like I can filter online. And I have to tell you, I hate to say it, but so many either boutique owners or just the salespeople working, they'll be like, oh, this is great. This is great. And I'm like, I can tell, like, I immediately know if that's going to work for me. And they kind of get annoyed with me. They're like, oh, this would be great on you. And I'm like, no, it wouldn't. And I wouldn't feel good in it. So once you go through that process and you have these yeses, like you're saying, and you know, then it does make shopping that much more efficient. And then when you know, like what I tend to do is then if I see things that are like in my color, because I know next season or next year, those may not be out there, but I know they work for me, then I'll buy more of it, knowing that like, well, next year I may not be able to. So just a little personal story.
Well, it's also because you have confidence, right? So it built.
I do now. Develop, I have a lot more confidence.
You develop competency around how to shop smarter because you understood better what served you when you were getting dressed. And that made you feel really confident with handling sales associates, with seeing what you want and like in stores. You know, it's when you get really clear on what you're looking for, you're able to scan and see. And that rather than feel like, where do I begin?
Right. And I will say, like, the investment in time and money is well worth it because I had so many pieces in my closet that I bought because they were trendy and they were at the store that what everyone was wearing. And then I wore it once or twice. And when I wore it, I could tell you right now, I didn't feel good about myself. So I'm just a big believer in everything that you're doing.
Well, and it's interesting because as confident as Stephanie is in her fashion, I would say I am not confident in my fashion. And I have two parents that are incredibly fashionable and they like change their wardrobe every season and they always look perfect and put together. And I'm not like that. I don't even strive to be like that. I don't want to be like that, but I do want to be put together and fashionable, just not to the level that my parents are, I guess. But I always feel like I need somebody else to say to me, yes, that looks good. Like, I don't feel like I have that inner confidence when I'm purchasing something to be like, yeah, that's going to work for you. So I always like to shop with a buddy.
Well, I mean, that's really valid though. I mean, I think that it's really common, particularly for women, to feel like they should be good at this. Like, why not? You should be good at this. Everyone loves to shop and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, my experience is like, not everybody's really into this. And it's not, you know, it is very natural to not feel like this is comes like in your it was in your DNA, or you feel like you need external like feedback about whether or not something's working. You know, our brains, I think, are also complex. Like, some of us use more of our right and left brains. Like, our development actually influences the way that we see things and understand complexities. Like, I will forever not be great at, like, you know, like operational things, engineering type things. My brain is like, I don't get it. Like, I can't, like, I mean, I'm like, I can try really hard, but it's just not where I thrive, you know? But what I also say is that, you know, this is why I find that, you know, it's about trust. It comes down to trust, right? You trust your friend's like point of view, but also their intentions. That's why sales associates, particularly commission-driven ones, are a difficult space to go to for, you know, improving your style, because the trust isn't there. You know, you don't know, trust their intentions. Are they really devoted, dedicated to you? That's why I always say that, like, I work for my clients. The sales associates work for the store. Their loyalty lies in the store. And there are some amazing individuals that do work in retail fashion. I mean, I was one of them at one point, who have good intentions. They're trying to serve the client. But in the end, you know, the transaction is how they make money. So that underlying need will always be there. Until retail decides to pay their employees like a livable wage, without it, they won't serve the client in the store above themselves. And I think that you're speaking about trust, and that's something that, you know, I automatically have with my client. I worked for them. I'm there for their goals. This is about what's your vision, and me being a conduit for that, and our team, you know, using our decade plus, you know, hundreds. I mean, at this point, I've dressed thousands of bodies over the years. I mean, I couldn't even imagine like how many people I've had my hands on, metaphorically and physically. And we have trust. They trust me because why would I not want them to look amazing and feel incredible? So if you have a buddy or you have a friend that you can do that with, that's wonderful. And it's valid. It's incredibly valid to need support in this. We are busy people who have a lot of things we are doing, and stressing about shopping doesn't have to be one of them.
So can you dive in and talk a little bit about like how you work with clients, especially remotely? Because a lot of our listeners are going to be all over the country, even the globe, and talk a little bit more about what that looks like for them.
Yeah. So it's a holistic process that it goes over four phases, and it's designed to discover what that ideal image is and what's been holding you back. Some of the things we talked about. Inventorying that closet. So we make sure that we are pruning the right pieces and we are keeping the right ones, and shopping for the next level to elevate your wardrobe. It's, you know, using all the information we've grasped from that discovery and that closet edit to then curate a handpicked list of items that is sent to you. That is, it's like a Stitch Fix, but on like turbo, like charge, because it's like you're getting a mass introduction to new brands. You're getting introduced to new styles and cuts and colors that you wouldn't otherwise really normally go for, but also within the realm of your comfort zone. So you're being stretched, but you're also feeling safe. We want to make sure that we're dancing in that waltz, so clients are thriving in this experience. And then we do styling. So we do head to toe, how do I wear it? What shoe do I put it on? And then throughout every phase, you're being given all these accountability exercises and all these best practices, because we want you to be able to feel like you're doing this every day as a habit with ease. So it can be a long-term change. So you can now be like, I can do this. And we do that over the course of 6 weeks. And the client time investment is on average about 12 to 15 hours.
Total in 6 weeks.
Total. Okay. And it includes virtual sessions that we do over Zoom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people often ask, but how do you do this over Zoom? Like, how do you do this virtually? Yeah. So I do there's a lot of exercises and tools that I do with the client that enables me to flush out some information that makes it a lot easier for us to do the styling successfully. But also, you know, I think I have a really unique experience. When I worked for Net-a-Porter, almost every single one of my clients was virtual. We worked with clients over internet, phone, email, and you know, you learned how to extract and understand the dynamics of an individual and their style, like just through repetition. You know, you do it enough, you start to understand the systems and what needs to happen to get it out. The client just needs to have the willingness to try, the desire to grow, and good lighting.
And the lighting.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. So I'm picturing like this virtual session, like we're in the closet and I'm like, what do you think of this shirt? What do you think of this shirt? Keep or go. But I can't imagine that you're spending all this time going item by item through the closet.
So we don't, when we do our closet edits, we don't do every single item. I give the client preparatory best practices. They are advised to go through like the edit method, not from a category standpoint, but through a daily practice throughout the process. So what it does is that they're editing their closet naturally. We do toss a lot of things through our virtual session. They may like not go through every single shirt, but by the end of the 6 weeks, they've gone through a significant, if not all, of their closet. However, they've now gone through an understanding where, looking at their closet, they know if there's anything that remains, the clarity of it, whether or not it should stay there long term, is without a doubt. So that's really part of the power of the experience is, yes, we edit, we clean out, we do this, but it's really designed to, you get all this delightful outfits and all these wonderful clothes and this new sense of personal style, but you also have you just change your ability to do this for yourself in a way that you didn't have before.
And so that, I have two questions about that. First one is, I'm thinking about like, okay, skiing and hiking categories and running. I have a lot of skiing, running, and hiking clothes. Okay. I love that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I'm assuming that's not what we're focusing on, right? Because we're trying to focus on things like, you know, being put together and going out and work events and whatever it is. So what do you do? Like, that's taking up a significant piece of my closet right now. Like,
okay.
How do you advise people in that regard?
Yeah. So when someone is a new client, they've never worked with me before, they go through that traditional like 6 week process that I described. And we focus on the season that they're in. So fall, winter, spring, summer, and their what I call foundation pieces. So within every closet, there are those, whether you're in one season, like you're in like more of a Miami where it's kind of like a mostly one season throughout the year, just kind of gradient version of it, or you're in like New York City where you deal with every season change. We focus on what that looks like for you based on your climate and the season we're in. And then we build your foundation. So your foundation is the pieces that you would wear 9 months-ish out of the year, the ones that aren't related to extreme temperatures or extreme situations. So your jeans, your tees, your sneakers, your things that like you're really going to pound day to day. And then the other percent of it is based on the seasonality. So fall, winter, spring, summer, and how do you like to dress? Some people run very warm, they run very cold. So even though it might be chilly, they may not want to wear chunky, heavy sweaters. That's just, you know, male clients I have that have a lot of muscle mass, like they're hot in long sleeve Henleys. Like, we're not buying them cashmere, you know? So it's so curated to the client's lifestyle and needs. But to answer your question specifically about these, like, offshoot categories, like they're skiing or like maybe it's event dressing. We offer a little bit of time and energy that can be applied to that outside realm, right? So if it's really important to the client where they're like, listen, I ski every weekend, like that's my life. My entire life is, you know, momming or something or lawyering during the week. And then like for 5 months out of the year, all I do is ski every weekend, as an example. We would say, okay, so that means part of your foundational pieces are actually skiing. So it's like, you know, if you like, so it's really like, that is a foundational piece for you. That's a part of your daily life. That's a 9-monther. So that would be factored in to your edit. And the other thing is that what I do is clients have access to the stylist for the 6 weeks, unlimited text and email. So if you want to go ham and use what you're learning to start editing your ski thing, or you want to start going into like, you know, your event dresses and go ham on, you know, whatever your life is, and you want to start sending pictures and you want to ask about them in a styling session, you want to bring like you're going to like, I don't know, Steamboat, Colorado, and you're going to go skiing that weekend, and you're in a styling session, like in 2 weeks, we're going skiing. And you want to do some outfits that are après and you're cute by the lounge, let's do it. Like we can, let's, you know, and, you know, so you can use your time in a way that is custom to you, that serves you best. And you can shoot pictures. You can send over the photos. Like, what do you think of this outfit? Like, should I get rid of these pants? Like, I'm not really feeling this. So you're, how much the client wants to use the service is up to them. I mean, we are there to support you in ways that work for you. Now, does that mean that you're going to get every question answered in this week? Maybe not, but I can assure you, you're going to feel so much better about answering them for yourselves. And of course, we offer like additional support services after you've gone through. I mean, there are clients that one experience, they have such profound change. They feel supported to move forward and maybe just do some small check-ins here or there. And they, you know, they're on. Maybe they don't have the affordability to continue services, but you know, they now have that note, they've gotten that nose job of styling. So they, all they need to do is like, you know, maybe figure out how to wear it, and they're moving on in their life. And then there are clients who want to compound. So I liken it very similar to like building a portfolio. You know, you the more time you put into it, the more you do it, the more significant change you're going to see. Like, you're going to learn, you're going to continue to be learning and growing. And that can be something that we can continue to support you in many different ways, or that can be something that you now have a newfound sense of excitement for. So therefore you're changing and growing instead of struggling and, you know, surviving.
I love this process that you have, and that it's 6 weeks, because it's just like changes. Like, Marnie and I work with clients one-on-one with health coaching and through this podcast, and it's like little changes build like long-term results, and it's a journey. And so this is a 6-week journey, and you're dissecting what's going on in their head and what's in their closet. And then you're building their confidence and providing new options and new labels and new ideas. And then you're launching them, you know, maybe not 100%, just like when we work with clients for 3 months or 6 months, you know, you launch them and you've given them the tools and the inner knowing to make some good decisions, but then we're always there, right? And there's always a place to like go back and bounce ideas. And that's like, seems very similar to what you're doing. And I love that you're just building this like sustainable long-term habit and, you know, the psychological piece, and also just like that personal style that they'll have for the rest of their lives. And again, it can change just like anything else. Like, things change in your life that warrant a little bit of, you know, a pivot here and there, and then they know they can always go back to you. So yeah, it's so great what you're doing.
It's really fun. It's very validating. I had a client recently, last year, a recent client, who I just posted a reel on her about her story. So she was postmenopausal, who, never really, you know, she never really felt good about shopping or style or any of it. And her husband actually gifted her the experience through a referral. And so she was a bit nervous. It was not something that she would have ever signed herself up for. But it was very thoughtful of him. And, you know, she went into this like optimistic, but she went into this really being like, I'm short and I'm old and I'm a suburban mom. And like, I'm sure we'll find, she wasn't in any way negative, but she clearly didn't think that this stuff was available for her. And her style was pretty simple in the sense that she worked from home. She did live in the suburbs, and, you know, she wasn't glamazoning around New York City, but it really just came down to like, you know, finding the right jeans that fit, like showing her how to color combination, like texture play, like things that can. And, you know, she told me this story about how she went to the nail salon and the woman goes, are you going somewhere after this? And she was like, wait, what do you mean? And she's like, well, you're not in sweats. You know, and
well, you do start receiving compliments, I have to say, right? You are going to receive compliments, and then that's going to like propel you forward
immediately to the immediate sense. The validation that you will experience is like, the fast forward about 2 weeks later, her husband and her, I advised her to your question about those one-off things. She was going to a gala, like a party, like some sort of event. But she doesn't normally do these things. So she was like, I have this dress I like, what do I do? Like, how do I style it? What do I wear? And I advised her. And then she told me that she was they did a game and she and her husband were voted one of the top three best dressed at the event.
Oh, that's so validating so cool. for her. Yeah. Like she must have felt amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And she's like, I got so many compliments. And this is a woman who didn't ever feel seen by her personal presence, so her dress. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, like it's incredible. And, you know, she went shopping with her daughter during our process. And when we were in our styling session, she had bought this skirt, really pretty, like midi, like denim skirt. And she's like, I never would have even tried this on. She's like, it's a skirt, it's long, I'm short. I thought it would look dowdy on me. And she's like, but I loved it. And it was like so outside my comfort zone. And she's like, and I knew it was like a yes. And I never feel like anything is a yes. And she was like so excited. And I was like, welcome aboard.
That's amazing.
So just changed her life. Yeah.
I know that we need to start to wrap up this conversation, and we love leaving our guests with practical tips that they can immediately implement into their lives. So what tip or tips would you have for someone who's kind of struggling to find their style and maybe isn't feeling that great about how they're currently presenting themselves, and, or maybe they're just sick of their outfits, which is kind of how I feel at the moment.
Okay. So I'll give you three and they'll be quick. Stop shopping immediately. If it's not an utmost need, if it's not like a sock or your dog ate your shoe and you need to replace it, do not shop. And then you want to get your images of your style role models. Pop up in Pinterest, check out Vogue Runway, but curate. Get at least 3 to 5 of like your dream looks. Don't worry about if you can pull them off. Don't worry about how you would execute them. Just realistically, what are three that you would love to wear? Who would you want to be? And third, start editing your closet. You can go to letsgetyou.com/closet-edit and you can snag that closet edit that I talked about if you want a guide, but you can start with your category and begin there. And then the last thing I'll say is have patience. If you're not finger snapping with a stylist or something and you really want to start this at home, go for it. But have patience with yourself.
Great.
Your evolution
great tips.
Will come.
Yeah. I like the stop shopping because my immediate response when I'm feeling sick of my outfits is, let's go shopping. Let me go see what I can buy. And a lot of times I do make a lot of bad purchases. So I'm probably your ideal client.
Yeah. I see a connection like here, Marnie. I don't know. I see a connection.
It sounds like it.
And I have to validate everything Marnie said because we talk about this kind of stuff, you know, off
You're
camera.
Validating that I have a lack of style.
No, I actually think, you're being very hard on yourself personally because I think you absolutely do have a style. And you do like to like run to the store, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't have to go on a tangent
I run to
now.
The store last minute.
Right.
A lot.
Right. Yeah. But I think you second guess yourself a lot.
Yes.
So anyway. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes. So you just mentioned your website. We want to make sure people can find you, follow you on Instagram, check out this reel that you made about your client recently, download this guide to help them edit. We'll link it all up in the show notes, but if you want to just quick share it for the listeners out there.
Yeah. So I'm really active on Instagram. You can definitely check out some of the previous clients I've worked with there as well. But the business name is Let's Get You, and it spells just like it sounds. You can find me on Instagram @_ Let's Get You and letsgetyou.com. And if you want that edit, you just go to letsgetyou.com/closet-edit and it'll jump right to you.
Fabulous. Awesome. Thank you.
Such a great conversation. This was fun.
I know.
Well, one
so
more
fun.
Question for you. Yeah. As we wrap up, we love to ask our guests, What does the art of living well mean to you?
Oh, feeling peaceful. Feeling okay with even if you're on the lazy river and you hit a bump and then your inflatable explodes, you can handle it.
Love that.
I mean,
being like, you know, riding the storm, you know, it's a great thing in my life that I've learned to do.
You know what? That's Well, one, that's just beautiful. It's so simple. And I think it's really what everyone wants. And just with everything going on in the world, we just want the inner peace so we can have the peace within everyone. But being able to ride the storm, because the reality is life throws you many bumps and you have to be able to, like, if you have that peace, then you can ride it out without getting completely off course, right?
Without spiraling, you know.
Without spiraling is what I should say. Yes. I'm learning to do that myself, Nicole. So.
Well, thank you, Nicole, so much for coming on our show today. And listeners, if you like this episode, share it with a friend or a family member. Head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate or review our show. We'd so appreciate that. And we just loved having you today.
Yeah. Have a great one, Nicole.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the Art of Living Well podcast. We are so grateful that you joined us today.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend or anyone else you think may benefit from this information. We'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and tag the Art of Living Well podcast on social media.
If you want more inspiration in between episodes, you can find us on social media at theartofliving_well on Instagram and Facebook, where we will share snippets from our daily lives and our journey to living well.